Hello, everybody, and welcome to our service today on this third Sunday after Epiphany. We're going to be thinking in our service today about following Jesus, and we're also going to be thinking about inviting others to consider faith in Jesus for their lives. If the truth be told, I think many of us find that it can be hard to share our faith with others. We're afraid that they will think of us as perhaps a bit pushy, or maybe even a little bit weird. But today in our service, we're going to just explore some thoughts about how to follow Jesus. And we're also going to hear in our service about a new center for mission in the diocese. There are just a few notices for the week that is to come. On Wednesday evening, we're continuing our Alpha course over Zoom at 8 o'clock. And on Thursday evening at 7 o'clock, our parish prayer meeting takes place over Zoom. This is the time of the year when the register of vestry persons is reopened for the next number of weeks. And if you would like to register as a member of this church and you haven't registered anywhere else, there are details in the parish magazine, on the parish website, and on the Facebook page about who to contact if you would like to be registered. Next Sunday, our online service will be a service of morning prayer, and we look forward to some input next week from the Leprosy Mission Northern Ireland, and we will be hearing about their work. And so, as we gather together to worship God today, our opening hymn is a hymn of praise. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation.
Oh,
Our service today is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together today to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life. To the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And in our next hymn, as we respond to God's forgiveness, we hear a song from the psalmist of longing for God, as the deer pants for the water. Our Bible reading today is from the Gospel according to St. Mark in the first chapter, beginning to read at the 14th verse. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said, "the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Here ends our Bible reading. We're going to take the opportunity now just to watch a little video as people explore or explain their sense of calling to share their faith, and they explore different ways to do that. So we're going to have the opportunity to see what they do.
Evangelism is just sharing the good news. People have come up with many definitions. There are hundreds of them. A very simple one, which I sort of heard years ago, which I like, is that evangelism is about one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. And I love that, because it's about sharing good news. One person in need, sharing good news with someone else in need. And so it's not about being perfect. It's not about being the wonderful, professional, religious, Christian person. It's really about taking a risk at times, mentioning the name of Jesus, opening a conversation, starting a relationship, in order to be able to share something of the love of God, and we can all do that.
My name is Jim Fleming. I am an outreach worker at the moment with Sego Parish in Portadown, and I'm specifically employed to work in Kelly Kamen Estate. I've been there the last 3 years. So yeah, when I first got there, it was really just me. There was very little in the way of any team. So I just went around the estate and trying to find out what the needs might be in the area and how we can help people in a practical way, but obviously more importantly how we can sort of find ways to bring Jesus into the conversation.
As far as I know, I haven't led anyone to Christ in some big dramatic way, and I think when you grow up in church there's almost that expectation, but I think the older I get the more I realise it is just helping people take that next step. And I can think of one mum who did come along to our toddlers group, and eventually she plucked up the courage to come along to church services. She now helps out in different things, her children are involved. Has she made that step of faith yet? No, but I've every confidence that the Holy Spirit is just gently chipping away at her. And D.L. Moody, I think it was, said, you know, that before we talk to people about God, we need to talk to God about the people. And it is just that gentle drawing alongside them and hoping and praying that one day this lady will take that step. And it could be through your kids. You know, they're getting more involved in things, and who knows? You know, God has a plan and we're just a small part of it.
So we started off with a Christians Against Poverty job club, because one of the needs was long-term unemployment. For those of you maybe not aware of CAP, CAP's a fantastic vehicle. Helps people practically in terms of debt help, employment, life skills, and even addictions as well. We also then discovered a lot of loneliness around the area, particularly males living on their own and having very few connections. So having a youth centre, which is free during the day, it seemed a natural one to bring guys in. We've ended up from a Bible study going to a former men's club, and just guys come in and make connections with each other and get to know each other and talk, more importantly.
So I've been a Church Army evangelist for a few years now, and I can say really that I have no confidence in myself, but I have confidence in God, and I have confidence in his message, of confidence in the Son of God, because I have witnessed with my own eyes as people hear and see the love of God in action in his people, there is just something that happens. The penny drops, their eyes are opened, and the Spirit of God takes acts of service from ordinary people, hears their prayers and uses their words. It's not about getting every single word right. It's not so much about formula or following a pattern. It's about just sharing what God has done in our lives.
I think basically everything we do in Drumbeg is evangelism, and it's not just Drumbeg. You know, that's the society we live in. Most people, my generation and our generations following, haven't been to Sunday school. It's all unknown to them. So even church services have an element of evangelism to them. We started up a girls' brigade and a boys' brigade, most of whom the kids are mainly from outside the church. With the Tots group, we have a coffee stop that we run here, just in the foyer of the church hall, and it's for the community to just come in and maybe to see that Christians aren't as weird as they sort of have the reputation for. We do a messy church once a term, which is a great way to kind of get people in and to see that Jesus can be fun as well as the serious side of it. And then we have our holiday club every year as well. So it's just, it's also equipping people, I think, through our Bible study groups or our women's group to kind of go out and to have the confidence to share Jesus in the playgrounds when they're picking their child up, to share Jesus over the water machine at work. It's that kind of building people up, equipping people, and just sort of saying, you don't have to be a spectacular evangelist to share Jesus. You just need to draw alongside people and to show them that they matter. And then God does take care of the rest. We just need to be faithful and use the gifts that he's given us, be it baking a cake or cleaning the toilets. You know, if the toilets aren't clean in church, other things don't happen. So it's that body idea and just getting alongside people and showing them that.
Yeah, I think evangelism could take all shapes and forms, but yeah, there's real, real value in those relationships and building those relationships and going on journeys with people. And that can take years maybe before they might make a decision, you know, to follow Jesus. But it's that sort of long-term investment over time, I think, is really, really vital. We expect people to come on to our territory on our terms and have to fit into that and fit into that sort of behaviour as well, where Jesus got himself invited places. Jesus went out and he didn't go with the attractional model where we put something on and expect people to come to it. Jesus went out and got himself invited into people's homes on their territory and brought good news into their situations.
One of the hopes is that along with Church Army, who will be establishing a centre of mission here in Newry, we will be putting evangelism really at the top of the agenda of all that we do. And evangelism, in essence, is just telling people there is good news out there. Telling people that Jesus Christ came to live amongst us. The Son of God came to dwell here on this earth. And his death and his resurrection are the means by which we can have peace with God.
So let's affirm our faith now in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our special collect prayer for today, the third Sunday after the Epiphany. Almighty God, whose Son revealed in signs and miracles the wonder of your saving presence, renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness, sustain us by your mighty power, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now we're going to hear another hymn that describes how the Lord came to earth as one of us to serve us and to show us his love and his light, the Servant King. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I had an interesting phone call during this past week from Andy Hay. And if you remember, Andy spent a term with us early last year before the pandemic hit, and he was on placement from the Theological Institute. And Andy this year is serving as a deacon intern in St. Donard's Bloomfield. And he's currently writing up a dissertation about discipleship in the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts. And Andy, who was doing his research with local clergy, was asking really interesting and important questions about how the lessons that we learn in those books about being a follower of Jesus are being applied at parish level and how we're trying to do that as a congregation. And Andy, in our conversation, posed a lot of interesting and challenging questions to me that got me thinking about this really important subject of being a disciple or a follower of Jesus in 2021. It's a question that's also at the very heart of today's gospel reading from the Gospel of Mark. But maybe if the truth be told, in these very challenging days of COVID-19, we feel that we have more important things to think about. Or maybe we feel we don't have the time or the luxury to think about this subject of being a follower of Jesus. But I want to suggest to you today that it is pretty important. In fact, I think it's fundamental, and I believe it can also help us to journey through this time. So let's go back to our gospel reading, where Jesus issues this powerful three-word invitation. Come, follow me. Come, follow me. And it's almost like going back to the very basics today, isn't it? And that's often, in truth, the hardest place for us all to return to. And at the beginning of that gospel reading in Mark's gospel, we're told that even after John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. And even though he was putting himself in danger, Jesus had this urgent message to share. And he spoke very clearly. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. And in this passage, Jesus is speaking here about a moment of decision. He's speaking about the need for all of us to do an about turn. And that's what this word repent literally means. Whenever our lives have turned away from God, as it's all too easy to do, Jesus calls us to make an about turn and to believe the good news that in surrendering to him, we will find forgiveness and freedom and power in our lives. Now, we don't find those things in ourselves, but only when we surrender our lives to him. And one of the sad things or the warnings that Jesus gives us in this passage is that we can all get so caught up and involved in organizations, like even the church or the political party or the sports club. Or we can get caught up in other very worthy things like our job and our family that we somehow forget the one who called us originally. And quite apart from our involvement in any organization, we need to remember first and foremost that we are all followers. In the busyness of our lives, I wonder, has this relationship with Jesus Christ got sidelined? And if it has, the good news is that today we all have an opportunity to get back on track and to recommit ourselves and our lives to doing what Jesus asks of us and taking up that invitation to follow him. Simon and Andrew, they left their nets and they followed Jesus. And following is a very strong biblical word, all about faith and discipleship. And in following, we always leave something. Simon and Andrew gave up their business. They gave up their fishing nets to follow Jesus. I wonder, what are the fishing nets in our lives? Maybe it's our commitment to a certain way of life or an activity. And as Jesus invites us to give that up, to follow him, we believe in ourselves that the cost is simply too great. Now, what I'm not saying is that we all need to leave our jobs, whatever they may be, in order to follow Jesus. But for most people, there are certain things that we need to leave behind as we seek to follow him. And for many of us, there may be one big leaving and then a whole series of smaller leavings that follow, that as we seek to stay faithful to answering his call and doing what he would like us to do with our lives. And maybe just like the disciples, there are things in our lives today that we need to leave behind. Maybe, for example, we might need to let go of false expectations. Sometimes people are inclined to suggest that as a follower of Jesus, you'll never have any problems, or that you should always be joyful and it's always easy to do what God wants of us. Now, to be honest, neither of those things are true in my experience. And very often, the follower of Jesus can be tested with very challenging experiences of struggle and suffering. And sometimes it is the hardest thing in the world to be obedient to what God wants us to do. It can involve leaving places and situations that we love. I found that to be my experience on a few occasions in my own life. People often misunderstand us when we follow Jesus, and the road is not always an easy one. But what we are reassured of, however, is the presence of Jesus with us as he accompanies us on that journey of faith. So following involves a dynamic of releasing and letting go. And it also involves the dynamic of reaching out and giving of your best to whatever it is that you do for him. And to me, that's all about faithfulness in the ordinary things of life, making time for our families and friends, doing the very best job we can at our daily work, seeking to do those random acts of kindness and service for others in the name of Jesus, being generous with our money and our time and our talents as we seek to bring glory to his name. So today we all hear in this reading three simple words that contain the most incredible challenge, if you will hear them today. Jesus said, "Come, follow me." Let us pray. Lord God, as we see the disciples respond to your call in their lives, we pray that you would help us to do the same thing. Help us to surrender those things that you would want us to lay down. And we offer you today our hearts and our lives afresh as we seek to come and to follow you. Amen. Lord, we also want to pray today for all who try to share their faith in you through their daily lives, in their homes, in their schools, and in their workplaces. in the places where they socialize and meet people. So we pray today for all of us who maybe lack confidence in this area. We maybe feel that we don't know enough or that people will not receive us well. Help us, very simply, to come and follow you in our own lives and to share naturally the difference it makes to us day by day. We pray today for David, our bishop. We pray for all who are participating in our Alpha course and for all who search across the world this day, that they would find meaning, love, and hope through faith in Jesus Christ. We ask it in his holy name. Amen. We also want to pray today for the first days of the new administration in the United States. We pray for a conciliatory tone and for the healing of divisions. We pray too today for all those who follow you in situations where it is dangerous to do so. We pray for safety for the Christian community in Ethiopia, who suffered a devastating attack in December from militia from neighboring Eritrea, and many lives were lost. So we pray today for the bereaved and the injured in that war-torn region of Ethiopia. We pray too for those who've been affected in Baghdad following a suicide bomb attack on Thursday past. We pray that your people might know protection and courage in these very difficult situations. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we also want to pray today for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. We pray for business owners and for retail workers following the extension of the current lockdown to March. We pray for the necessary, important financial support to get through to the people and the sectors who really need it at the present time. We also want to pray for all those known to us who are sick or isolating because of COVID-19. We ask, Lord, for a healing of symptoms and for the safe and effective rolling out of the vaccine in the coming weeks. But in a quiet moment, let us bring our own thoughts and prayers to God as we lift before him those who are particularly on our minds and in our hearts as we tune into this service today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. And now we're going to hear our next hymn, where the disciples take up that invitation to come and follow me, dear Lord and Father of mankind.
Thank you.
We bow our heads for God's blessing. May Christ the Son be manifest to you, that your lives may be a light to the world, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Our closing hymn today is a hymn of commitment. O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end.